and now evangelist David Shannon.
We'll open your Bibles to 1 Timothy. We'll be looking at 1 Timothy, the 5th chapter. How do you build the church as Christ wants it to be? We've been looking at that. He started out in the first chapter of 1 Timothy by saying, listen, you have to stay in Ephesus if it's going to be the church that it should be. Second, you're going to have praying people. Third, you're going to have a congregation with women that have an inward, godly beauty, and their actions will betray them. Fourth, you're going to have qualified men serving as elders. Fifth, you're going to have qualified men serving as deacons. Sixth, Timothy, there's three things that you should warn those people against in that congregation. Make sure that there's not a spirit of Satan about that congregation. Make sure that doesn't run through and ripple through the congregation. Second, make sure that you don't have hypocrites that destroys a congregation. Third, make sure that you do not have tradition standing above the Word of God. And then last week, a lesson that was very, very appropriate for us, and that is make sure our young people are setting the example that they should for all ages, and they have done that this past week. Read with me, if you will, and we'll see tonight that God intends, if we are to be the church that He wants us to be, He intends for us to support one another. 1 Timothy 5, rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, and the younger men as brethren. The elder women as mothers, the younger as sisters, with all purity. Honor widows that are widows indeed. Timothy, you're a young man. Don't go and treat the older people in any other way except with respect. As a matter of fact, he uses the word there, instead of mistreating them or rebuking them sharply, he says, entreat the man. That word literally means to pull by one side or to give comfort to. I believe by him saying a mother and a father and brothers and sisters, that what Paul was trying to say is you create in that spiritual house a spiritual family. You make sure that just as if, Timothy, when you were little, you wanted to spend time with your father because you respected your father, you loved your father. He said, you as a younger man, you do the same thing with the older men in that congregation. You treat them with that kind of respect. And you spend time with them and you learn from them just as you learn from your physical father. And the same way with the women, the mothers. Then with the brothers and sisters, he says that's the ones that you treat that way that you're same age. Timothy, those that is the same age as you are, treat them like a brother. And you know, brothers don't always agree on everything, but you can almost always count on the fact that brothers stand up for each other. Brothers are united in the fact that they come from the same family. And we are to be united in the fact that we're all Christians. And that we're going to stand united and we're going to stand up for each other. And we're not going to watch Satan overcome and overtake one of our brothers or sisters and act like nothing happened. But we love one another. We take up for one another. We encourage one another. And it's this family support system that Paul writes to Timothy and says, it must be there if the church is to be what it should be. Now, there is an interesting passage that follows this, and that's speaking about the widows. He begins this passage by saying, honor the widows that are widows indeed. Now, please understand, this word honor does not mean the high praises that you might utter. This word honor is the same Greek word honor that is used when Judas betrays Jesus and he says to those people, what is the value? That word value is the same as this word honor. He's saying that there is literally a value to these widows that you place upon them. It's not only by word of mouth, it's actually by action. It's actually by expenditures, if you will. Proof of more of this and to better understand it, if you will, turn to Matthew, the 15th chapter. And if we can better understand this point, we'll understand all the way through what Paul was trying to teach. Here is a very similar lesson that Jesus was teaching in Matthew, the 5th chapter. Matthew the 15th chapter, verse 1. Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, "Why do thy disciples transgress the traditions of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread." But he answered and said to them, "Why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, Honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, Whosoever shall say to his father or mother, it is a gift. Other scriptures say, it is corban. By whatsoever thou mightst be profited by me, and honor not his father and mother, he shall be free. Thus have ye made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, This people draw nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of man." So here Jesus is very stern and straightforward to them when they come and say, "Jesus, how can your disciples not wash their hands as all the Jewish tradition has been for years and years?" And he says, "How can you put tradition above the Word of God?" He says, "My disciples are disobeying your tradition, and your followers are going out and disobeying the Word of God. The Word of God says, honor thy father and mother, and you're only doing it with your lips." There was a law in that day and time in their tradition, not a law of God, but a tradition where a son or a daughter could take money and give it to the treasury of God. And then when their parents asked for help, when their parents grew older and said, I need shelter, I need food, I need clothing, they could say, "Mother, Father, it's Corban." And that was literally to say, "I've given the gift that I would have given to you to God." And under Jewish tradition, that relieved them of all of their burden. Under the Jewish law, they were allowed to watch their own parents suffer just by giving a small gift to God. And Jesus says, "You call that honor?" He says, "That's only honor with your lips." And now Paul writes a very, very similar story when he says in 1 Timothy, "Honor the widows." He is not speaking here of just honor with the lips, but he says in action. Notice as we read on, we're going to look at four types of widows. So keep that in mind and outline that in your mind. The first type of widow we'll read about in verse 4. "If any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home and to requite their parents, for that is good and acceptable before God." Now notice, we have a widow here that has children. Now, I hope you don't get discouraged with the King James Version. I love the King James Version, and I'm not trying to be discouraging in going back sometime, but this is one case where it says nephews, where it would be a much better translation if it said children or descendants. The literal Greek is not just nephew. The literal Greek could be a grandchild. It could be male or female grandchild. It could be a nephew or a niece. It's literally descendants. So here, he says, we have a widow that does have descendants. They either have children, they have grandchildren. And they're faithful. That's one type of widow here. The next type, verse 5. "Now she that is a widow indeed and desolate trusteth in God and continueth in supplications and prayers night and day." Type 2, there's one that is desolate. They do not have any descendants. They do not have any children, grandchildren, nephews or nieces, but yet they do believe in God. Type 2. Type 3, "But she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth." Paul warns Timothy, there's going to be some that when they lose their spouse, they'll lose their faith. They'll turn away and they'll live in the pleasures of the world. And then, if you will, skip over to verse 9 and 10, and we'll read about the fourth type. "Let not a widow be taken into the number under 80 years old, having been the wife of one man, well reported of for good works, as she hath brought up her children, as she hath lodged strangers, as she hath washed the saints' feet, as she hath relieved the afflicted, as she hath diligently followed every good work. But the younger widows refuse." So here we have the fourth type of widow that Paul outlines. The widow that is under 60, that has only had one husband, and probably more literal with one living husband at a time instead of the marriage and remarriage. So one living husband at a time. And as we see the outline given here in 10, simply if we could simplify it, she was a good husband and she was a good wife, she was a good mother, and she was a good housekeeper and very hospitable. He says, those widows under 60 that fall into that category, don't allow them to become a part of the group of widows that you support. Why? He says, they're not going to be happy. As a matter of fact, listen to how strong he says this. He says, but the younger widows, verse 11, refuse, for when they have begun to wax wanton against Christ, they will marry, having damnation because they have cast off their first faith. And withdraw, they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also, and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. And I will therefore that they younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. Now please understand, the situation here is much different than the way the church is organized today in the sense of the widows, but yet the teaching still applies. In this day and time, there literally was an enrollment of widows into the church that needed support. If there was a widow that needed food, clothing, or shelter, she would come and literally sign a roll and put her name on that roll, and she was a worker for the church. You know, we're all ministers. We're servants. They had widow servants. Now, what they did is exactly unclear. Perhaps they cooked. Perhaps they sold for others. Perhaps they went and visited the sick and sat with the sick. There's many things that they might have done in the name of the church. But the fact was they literally enrolled on that roll and the church would help them in whatever way of support that they needed to survive. Paul writes and says to Timothy, now if they're under the age of 60, don't take them in. Because once they begin this work, they're going to realize that they would be much happier having a husband again, keeping the home again just like they used to do. And he says, if it came down to it, they would be so unhappy that they would give up their first faith. Now think how strong a words that is Paul is saying. He says they would give up Christ to have that home back. So he says, don't put them in that situation. Reject them, refuse them, and let them be there. Now notice, if you will, verse 16. If any man or woman that believeth have widows, let them relieve them, and let not the church be charged, that it may relieve them that are widows indeed. So from our studies tonight, we see that there is one type of widow that the church is obligated by the Word of God with no exceptions to help support. That is the widow that is older than 60 and that does not have any descendants to take care of her. If she is in need, it is the church's obligation without exception. It's the Word of God. But now, if you will, I want to suggest something to you, and I want you over the next week to look over this again and to study it in context and see if you agree. I've heard several say, pull out this passage and use verse 16 to say, if we have a widow in the church that is older than 60 and has living descendants, but they will not take care of her, the church cannot help her. Now, I've heard some say that. Brethren, I want you to look long and hard before you speak, for the Bible does not speak. Look back at 16 one more time. If any man or woman that believeth have widows, let them relieve them. Now, who are they relieving? You let the son or the daughter that believes come in and relieve the church. You can't relieve someone that is not doing anything. If you tell me so-and-so pitched for 4 innings and someone came in and relieved them, well, I know automatically that they were the pitcher if someone relieved them. Here Paul is saying, Timothy, there are those that you're helping as a congregation. To make it more clear, go back and look at verse 7, if you will. He writes these things to Timothy and he says, "These things give in charge, that they may be blameless. But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his house, of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel." So Paul writes to Timothy and he says, "I'm writing these so you can charge the people, so they won't be to blame." Why? Because, Timothy, your congregation is supporting too many, that they have children that should be supporting them. But please notice, underline it, look over, study. There's not one place where Paul said, "Timothy, I want the church to take action in kicking the widows off the roll." It's not there. He said, "I want the church to go and to talk to the believers, to the descendants, and charge them. Tell them that it is their responsibility, and let the children come and relieve the church." But if you're going to preach a gospel that says we can have someone in our own family starving to death, and by the word of God we can't feed them, I think someone has pulled some verses bad out of context. Very bad. The only action Paul gives here is for the believers. Brethren, if I get old and Colton and Lacey refuse to take care of me or Tracy, I hope to goodness you don't let me starve to death. It's not my fault they won't take care of me. We cannot punish someone else for their children's action or failure to act. Remember in Matthew when Jesus said, "I'm going to separate the right and the left"? What was the way he said, "I'm going to separate"? He says, "There were those that fed me, that clothed me, that visited me in prison." But notice, he didn't say, "Now I want you to only do that if I fall under a special category. I want you to only do that if I meet these certain situations and circumstances." I encourage you tonight to realize this passage in 1 Timothy is very real and applicable today. But it is a passage that's written to families, to physical families, saying how serious it is for us to take care of our own physical family. Then it's a passage written to the church to say, if the physical family fails your spiritual family, you pick them up and you help them out. Tonight, let us all believe with all of our heart, if East Gadsden is to be the church that God wants it to be, we must be a support system. We must be. We must support each other in a sense as fathers and sons, mothers and daughters, brothers and sisters. We must be a spiritual support, and if need be the case, we must also be a financial support. Tonight, I ask you, as a brother, as a son, is your life right? Is there something we can say or do to help encourage you, to entreat you to obey the gospel tonight? We're a family, and we need to make sure that the way we live, we're always encouraging each other, that we're always exhorting each other, that we're never tearing each other down, and that we're never neglecting anyone in need. First, you help. Then you go to the physical members of the family and say, "Hey, you need to come over and relieve the church of your obligation." If we can help you in any way tonight, won't you come as we stand, as we sing?